Today's share the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Chaf Beis. We begin on the very second line, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, after the two dots, where we say Itmar. It's interesting, Rashi over here points down that the Girsa should be Itmar. The editors have already accepted Rashi's addition, and that's why we have the word Itmar in the Gemara. That often happens, the Rashi will say Hochi Garsin, and this is the way the Girsa should be. And the editors have accepted Rashi, and that's why we don't understand why Rashi would tell us that the Geirus is Itmar, even though our Gemara already has the word Itmar. Okay, Itmar, we said in the base Medrash, Kara, if a person learned, which we point out yesterday, meant Mikra, Mishana, which meant Mishnais, Velo Shimesh Tamidei Chachamim, and didn't go and have Gemara. He didn't go and learn the Svaras and the understanding, as we explained at the end of yesterday's Shia, a person just learned the basic Torah, dinim and basic Mishnah's dinim without really delving into it and not understanding them, so then such a person is going to be a cause of trouble. As we had said yesterday, he's one of the people that is called a chassid shote. And we add to that today, and we say that the following Amorayim say the following statements about him. Rabbi Elazar Omer, that he is an Amoritz. Hareze Amoritz. Such a person is considered an Amoritz. Now we have many different definitions of an Amoritz. Over here, the definition that we're using is a person, as Rashi says, shechoshud al hamaisros v'alataros. This person is choshud, he's suspected, he doesn't take off properly trumus and maisros, and also he's not careful about taharos. That's the definition we're using right now, Rashi says, for Rabbi Elazar's opinion, that person is an amaritz. And the reason behind this is simple. He doesn't really understand the dinim. So he'll think that something doesn't require trumus and maisros to be taken from because he misunderstood a mishnah and applied it someplace else. He'll think that something is really tar because he misunderstood a mishnah and didn't apply it correctly someplace else when it really is tummy. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar Hareze Bur. The person is considered a boor. Rashi points out boor is garua ne'am aretz. It's even worse than an am aretz. And Rashi elsewhere in Pirkei Avos says a boor is a person who's rake, an empty person. Mikol dover. He has no merit, so to say, to him whatsoever. Kemo sudei boor, like an empty, unplanted, fallow field. That is what a boor is. And he brings down psukim to support this idea. So, afilu betiv masa umaton. He doesn't even know basic things, how to get around in life, the basic business dealings he can't even do because the person hasn't learned. Rav Yani Omer, Harez Akusi. Rav Yani says the person is considered a kusi. Rashi explains, V'osu lecho pito v'yeno. Such a person is not only just not a good Jew, but you can't even go and eat his bread, you can't eat his wine. The kivin shlo shimei shachab. This person, he just read a couple of psukim. He knows a couple of mishnayis. In a makbid al divrei chachamim l'daitam, he obviously doesn't really care what the halach is. Lo shana, since he didn't learn the proper things. El haros atzmo kitam chacham. The only reason he learned over here was to make believe or to look to other people like he's a tam chacham. Oh, that guy's always learning chumash. That guy, he's learning mishnayis, but he really doesn't care. So that person is considered even worse in some ways than the ama aretz and the boor. And finally, we have Rav Acher bar Yaakov. He states Omer. Hareze Mogush, the person is a Mogush. Rashi explains, Mechashev, he's a magician. He's a person who tries to always fool other people. Ha'ochez esweinayim, begonevez halavavos. He tries by sleight of hand and by doing all sorts of tricks to go and steal people's thoughts to make, oh, that guy really is a smart guy. He really is an expert, but really he's not. So he's a faker. And therefore, those are the different definitions that we have over here for a person that didn't try to understand. Lo shimesh tamid chacham, he didn't try to really understand what the halacha is. Amar Nachman bar Yitzchak, Nachman Yitzchak tells us, Mistabra, it makes the most sense, like the last opinion, Kirav Achla bar Yaakov, who said the person is a mogush. Why is that? Because the Amar Yitzchak, because it's a very popular statement that people would say. People would often remark, and they say, Rotin Magusha, the mogush goes and is rotin. Rashi says the targum of rotin is chover chavar. The person is saying incantations. Hu mogush lochesh, hamachashev es lochoshev. The person is saying various incantations that he knows somehow work, below yoda mayoma, but he has no real clue what he's saying. As the Rashi continues, says ve'enu maven mahem. He doesn't understand what he's saying. Uma pirushim and what the meaning is. Elo kach maseim shemachashvos bo ayde osam halachoshim. He says he sees that other people that can have success saying this abracadabra, saying these various words. So he says them also. So that's the explanation of a person. Is a mogush, is somebody who knows a little chumash, knows a little mishnah, but he doesn't really understand it. He sees other people saying them, so he says them also, but he doesn't really understand it. As the Gemara continues, magusha v'lo yoda mai amar, Toni Tana v'lo yoda mai omar. So he's too like the person who says Mishnayis, but he's no real idea what he's saying. So yeah, he read a Mishnah, but he doesn't understand it properly, and he misunderstands it, which is even worse, and therefore will incorrectly paskin and incorrectly conduct his life. More continues to the Tana Rabban, we're learning Braisa, Ezel Amoritz. What is the definition of Amoritz? As we pointed out, there are many different definitions of an Am Oretz. So the first one that we bring down is Kol She'en Okore Kriyashma Shachris V'Arvis. And we have the word Bebir Chosea. I'm not sure if Rashi had that Girsa, because Rashi doesn't mention that word, but he doesn't quote the full statement. But Tosos certainly didn't have the Girsa. Tosos just has the Girsa, somebody that doesn't say Kriyashma by Shachris and Arvis. And this is the opinion of Divri Rabbeir. That is a person who's an Am Oretz. Now, why is this? Rashi tells us, Doha Vadai Eini Yodea Klum. This person, he doesn't even say Kriyashma. That's the minimum, so to say, to be Yotze, Vigisa Bayom of Aloyla. Say Kriyashma in the morning, Kriyashma at night. Avyodea Likros, Vikore Lo Amo Aretsu. But if a person does know how to read Kriyashma, so then we wouldn't consider him an Amo Aretsu. So Rameh's opinion is, a person doesn't even know enough to say Kriyashma, Shachris, and Arvis. The Chacham say, it means Kol She'eno Meniach Tfilin, somebody that doesn't put on Tfilin. The Marsha brings down over here for all of the other opinions besides Rameh, and he says, because they don't follow what's in the Kriyashma. They read Kriyashma in the morning, where it says, Ukshat Menil Se'e Decha, Vayul Totavos Beinin Echa. And they don't put on tefillin. So therefore, they're basically not following what the basics of Kriyat Shema tell us to do. So somebody who's not minyach tefillin is considered Am Oretz. Similarly, Ben Azimir, Kosh Ein Lo Tzitzis Bivigdo. Somebody's not wearing tzitzis. Because again, in the Kriyat Shema it says that you should put on tzitzis, and the person doesn't. In fact, the halacha is that if a person has tefillin and has tzitzis, it's Gilu made sheker al atzmo. If he doesn't put them on, again, a person's stuck, he's just about to miss his man kriyashma, and he doesn't have his tefillin on, but he has to quickly kriyashma to make his man kriyashma, so then, okay, it's really not right, but it's Gilu made sheker on himself, but here he has at least a head there, he didn't have a choice. But if he has the talis and tefillin, and he doesn't put them on, so then when he says Kriyashma, it's as if he's testifying falsely about himself. It says, and he doesn't have them, so then that is terrible. Same thing with tzitzis. Rav Yonas and Yosef Omer, Koshiesh lo bonim bin magadlin lilmo Torah. Similarly, it says, in the Shema, so if a person raises children but doesn't teach them Torah, they ain't no God, no more Torah. So again, the person is a faker. He's basically saying, yeah, this is very important in the Shema, but then he doesn't go and do it. Then we have the Acher Omrim. The Masoras HaShas points out that we already had this previously, that we see here that Rav Meir was the first opinion and the Acherim is the later opinion, so it seems that the Acherim is not Rav Meir, even though most of the time the Acherim is Rav Meir, but Lav Dafka always. In any event, the opinion of the Acherim is as follows. Afilu Korei Vishone V'lo Shimesh Tamidei Chachamim Zeu Amores. This is the opinion that we had previously, that a person learns Chumash, he learns Mishnais, but he doesn't really try to understand them. He's not Mishamish Tamidei Chachamim. As Rashi pointed out in the top Rashi, Lilmod Svaras HaGemara, to understand what the Gemara is really telling us, what the Mishnais are really telling us, so then such a person is considered an Am Oretz. Now, in the Masoras HaShas, Os Aleph, he does point out that there are different Girsos over here as to who said what, and there are opinions that Rameir was not the first opinion, Rameir was really the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rameir Svile, the Kol She'eno Ochel Chulin Bitara, somebody that doesn't eat Chulin Bitara is considered an Am Oretz. Okay, so there are different Girsos over here, different definitions. Then the Brisa continues. Kara Veloshana, if a person only learned Chumash and didn't even learn Mishnais, that is Harei Zebur. According to this Brisa, that's the one that is worse than an Am Oretz. That's a person who's an empty person, a boor, a rake. Lo Kara Veloshana, and a person who didn't even learn Chumash, never mind Mishnais, never mind Gemara, about him, all of Akosav Omer, about him, the Pasuk says, there's a Pasuk from Yirmiyahu, where it says, Vizorati Esbeis Yisrael, Vesbeis Yudah, Zera Adam, Vizera Behema. If you look in Rashi, in the Gemara, in Chulin, and Rashi elsewhere, so he tells us that Hatovim Vasichliim Shebehem Ani Ezroim Kulom Lio Zera Shali Zera Adam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the people that are good, they're the ones that I'm referring to in this pasuk that I'm planting in Beis Yehuda, Zera Adam. Those are the good people, those are the tzaddikim. However, the Zera Behema, those are the people that don't do anything. So some people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, plants that are human beings, they're really good people, and then there are other people, the human beings, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans that don't turn out so well. They basically turn into animals by not learning anything. So that's what the Brisa concludes. Then the Gemara tells us another pasuk. The pasuk tells us in Mishlei, Yira es Hashem b'ni v'melech, Now, we have the Gersa V'im Shonim, but it should be Im Shonim Altis Arav. So this is a message that Shlomo HaMelech is telling his son Rehovim. This is before the Malchus of Klai Yisrael is split into the two Malchus, Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael, the Malchus Yehuda and the other opposing camp that's led by Yeravim ben Nevat. This is before the split, and he's telling him, listen, in order not to have a split in Klai Yisrael, this is what you have to do. He says, don't go, you should be afraid of being with Shonim Altis Orav. Don't be with these Shonim. What does it mean, Shonim? So Rabbi Yitzchok, Elu Sheshonim Halachos. Don't be with those people that just state the Mishnayot, so to say. They just state these are the rules without really understanding them and not having any real conception. As Rashi says, Shloshim Shulot Tamidei Chachamim Lo Kpidu Al Tamei HaMishnayot. These are people that just read off Mishnayot and paskin from a Mishnah. As we mentioned many, many times, you can't paskin from a Mishnah. You have to understand why is this case a little bit different than that case. What's the Diyuk? Sometimes the Gemara will say, that's a Das Yochid. We don't paskin like this, as we read yesterday in Rashi. The Gemara will say, Ika Benayu. What's the difference between these two Mishnayos, my benayu, iga benayu, as Rashi had brought down yesterday. So such a person is causing a takala for Klai Yisrael. So Shlomo tells Ruchav, my son, stay away from those people. So where it says, pshita, it's obvious, as Rashi tells us, the ho, el b'may nidrashay ilad b'hachi. He says, yeah, how else would you understand this? It says, im shonim al tisarav. What else could this mean other than what Rav Yitzchak is telling us? Why is Rav Yitzchak telling us what seems to be obvious? Someone says, not so obvious, because I might have said that it means shonim b'chait, that it means a person. Shlomo Melch is telling Rechavim, his son, stay away from people that continuously sin. Now, why would you think that you should possibly be with such people? Because this goes like Uchid Rav Huna. This goes in accord with what Rav Huna said. What did Rav Huna say? Famous statement found in many places throughout Shas. Then Rav Huna, Kivin Shavar Adam Aveira Vishanaba Hutrolo. Person who repeats an Aveira over and over again, it seems to him it's almost permissible. As Rashi says, Dome b'einav heter. Person does something, he's not sure, is this allowed, this is not allowed. He does it. Yeah, then he does it again. So before you know it, he says, yeah, this is allowed. And then his children will see this and say, yeah, this is allowed. This is what our father did. So therefore, such a person, it's almost like a mitzvah for him to do it. It becomes heter for him to do it. And therefore, Kamash Vulon, Rav Yitzchak is telling us that's not what the pasuk means. Of course you stay away from such people. But he was talking about people that had only learned Chumash and Mishnayot. Stay away from them as well, because they're going to lead to a takola on Klai Yisrael. Now, the Gemara continues and says, Tana, we learn the following brisa, Hatanoyim, which means here people that learn Mishnayot, so they are Mivale Olam. They destroy the world. Now, based on what we understood, we already understand this, but the Gemara asks, Mivale Olam Sokadaitach? Are you really telling me, Umayin Gormin Liachem? What do these people do? They're learning Mishnayos and you're calling them destroyers of the world? So again, as we've already explained, Amar Ravina, Ravina tells us, Shemorin Halacha Mitoch Mishnasim, that they're paskling Halacha from just the Mishnah. As Rashi again reminds us, Shemavalin Olam Boraz Tos, they're constantly paskling incorrectly. They're keeping the En Yodim Tamiya Mishnah, so since they don't understand really what they're saying, Pa'amim Gormim Shemidamin Lo Dover She'eno Dome. So they're going to say, well, this Mishnah says this, so therefore, in the following case, the halacha is the same. And they're not going to understand that there's a difference between these two cases. So while the Mishnah said something is tar, in the actual cases in front of them, the Gemara had said that's not tar, but they're not going to know that, and therefore we're going to say that it's tar. And all sorts of other similar types of takalos. Furthermore, Rashi says, Yod, Yesh Mishnayis Harbe, there are many Mishnayis that we have in the Mishnayis, the Amrinan, Ha Mani, who is the author of this Mishnah, Plonihu, the Yichidohi, that the author of this Mishnah is a Das Yochid, and we don't pass him like if it less Hilchus HaKavase. Now the guy that just learns the Mishnah is not going to know that. Furthermore, Rashi says, "V'od Shein Yodim B'Machlokes Tanoim Harishonim Halachik Divrei Mi." They're not going to know what the Gemara says, that this is actually Machlokes between this Tana and that Tana. So the Mishnah was authored by so and so, and the Brisa that's brought down in the Gemara, or some other source in the Gemara that's going to tell us we don't pass like that Mishnah, and therefore they're not going to know. Hilchah Morin Horaz Tos. They're going to make mistake after mistake after mistake, and that's why they are like Mivale Olam. They're like destroyers of the world. Bring down a brisa to support what Ravina just said. Tanya Nami Hachi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, "V'chi Mivale Olam Heim." Are the people that learn Mishnayos really destroys the world? V'lo Miyashvei Olam Heim. They are people who support the world. The learning of Mishnayos is unbelievably important. Shenemar Halichos Olam Lo, and it says on the side, that we should altikri in the Mesorah Shas, altikri mahalichos el halachos. So these are people that learn Mishnayos every day, they're learning halachos every day, so they're good people, they're wonderful people. So obviously the answer is el shemor halach mitoch Mishnayos. So somebody who, listen, you have to start learning Mishnayos. It's a wonderful thing to Mishnayos. I love doing the Mishnah Yomis. The Mishnah Yomis is wonderful. You go through really all the Shas, you go through all Shisha Sidre Mishnah. However, if that's all you do, you don't try to go deeper, and you pass in halacha. Somebody that can't go deeper, and that's all he does, he learns Mishnayos every day. A guy that learns Chumash and Rashi every day, they're wonderful people. Don't think for a second that we're castigating them in any way if that's all they're able to do. However, if they then think that they're Tamid Chachamim, and then they pass him from that, they take out a Chumash, and the pasuk says something, and they say, well, that's the din, and then they pass it without understanding that it was meant literally, not meant literally, it is meant to be taken under this situation, not that situation, etc., etc. So then in all of these situations, that's the Mavaliola. But if a person wants to learn Mishnayos every day, it's learning halacha every day, that's a tremendous thing. Altikri halichos el halachos. A person will be halichos olam lo if he does this. But don't be going mara halacha, el shemor halacha mitoch mishnasim. That's what's so terrible over here. Ah, this brisa is in support of what Ravina said and everything that we said in the shiur today so far. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that there, besides the righteous tzaddik, the chassid shota, the other people that also destroy the world. Isha pirusha v'chule. We said that a woman who seems to be very, very righteous, but isn't. So what does this mean? Tanu Rabbanan, within the Braisa, it says in the Braisa, bisula tzalyonis. Tzalyonis, right, she says, is balas tvila. A young lady who's constantly davening. V'almona shovavis. Rashi explains shovavis means balas shchenos holchos mevakros shchenos tomit. And she's constantly going visiting all her friends. So these types of women, the one who davens a lot and the one who visits her friends, are considered bevali olam. And we'll obviously have to explain what this means in a second. And finally, it's a third thing, v'kotash lo kolu chadosha, hare elu mevali olam. This cotton that hasn't completed his years, we'll see, because of sins, he doesn't complete his years. So these three people, the women who daven a lot, the women who visit all the neighbors all the time, and the katan who dies early, all of these people are mevali olam. So obviously, this needs to be explained tremendously. So the Gemara says, really? Is this so? That we start off with the first two, Besulat Salyonis and Amon Shavavis, these are bad people? Ini? Really? Vamar Yochan tells us, we see how to properly have Yira Shemayim from the example of a Besula, which we'll explain in a moment. And the Kibbutz Schar, we understand the concept of Schar V'Onesh from an Almana. So how can you tell me the Besula Tzalyonis and Almana Shavavis are bad? They're, in fact, the ones that we learn Yira Shemayim from and Schar V'Onesh from. Now, what are these cases that Yochan brings down? So Yira Schayit Mi Besula, where do we learn to have Yira Shemayim, to have fear of sin? From a besula, this is the famous case of the Rabbi Yochanan, Shama Lahai Besula. Rabbi Yochanan heard about a certain besula, the Nafla A'apa, the Karma, who he heard, overheard her davening. She had fallen down on the floor to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She said, Ribono Shel Olam, Baraso Gan Eden, Ubaraso Gehenim. I know you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have made, created Gan Eden and Gehenim, up and down, the place for the good people after this world and the place for the bad people after this world. And Barasa Tzadikim, Barasa Rishon. And you've created people that will be Tzadikim, you've created people that will be Rishon. Yehi Ratzon Mil Fanecha, should be your will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I shouldn't be the cause of anybody to go to Gehenim. Shlo Yikash Lo Bi B'nei Adam. She must have been a young, pretty girl, and people who have Hehurim when they see her, people might do all sorts of Averas because of her. So she davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only should I be good, but please don't let me be the cause of any man stumbling, any man going and doing Averas because of me. So this is what this righteous woman was davening for. Oh, that's Yiras Chait. That's what a person should be dying for, not only for themselves to be good, but they shouldn't cause a takolo to anybody else. So how can you tell me that the Besula Tzalyonis is bad? Here we see that the Besula that Rav Yochanan is bringing to us is the paradigm of a wonderful young lady, of a Yiras Shemayim person. And likewise, the Almana, how can you tell me that the Almana is Shovavis, that that's a bad thing? Here we see Kibbul Skarmi Almana. We see from the following case that from the Almana we learn the wonderful Skarva Onish concept. The Almana, there once was a certain Almana, the Habibay Kinishta Bishivuse. She had a shul in her neighborhood where she lived. Nevertheless, Koyoma Havas Asya Umitzalo Be Midrashi Rav Yochanan. Nevertheless, she went to Rav Yochanan's neighborhood, which is relatively far away from her house. She bypassed her own neighborhood shul to go daven by Rav Yochanan's shul. So Rav Yochanan asked to listen, Amalai, he said, Biti, my daughter, why did you daven in your shul? Lo beis haknesses b'shiv usach, why are you running all the way to my shul, coming far away from your house? I'm 2 miles away from your house, and there's a shul 2 blocks away from your house. Why are you coming to my shul rather than davening in your shul? So Amalei, so she very innocently told Rav Yochanan, "No, Rabbi, Rav Yochanan, below schar psios, yeshli, don't I get tremendous schar for walking to your shul? So the extra schar psios, the extra walk that I take, that should be a wonderful reward." And this is a beautiful idea, and we see the importance of schar v'onish. This woman was constantly thinking, every step along the way, I'm getting additional schar. They say about Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, I heard this story many, many years ago, that when he moved in the Lower East Side, so his new house was closer to the shul. And he said the one thing that he was upset about was now he had a shorter walk to shul because he was getting less schar halicha, less schar psios. So this concept is very, very important. And in fact, if a person has absolutely no difference between shul A and shul B, he should actually go to shul B. Of course, if shul A is better for whatever the reason, the closer shul, this is his nusach, the closer shul has better times for davening, the closer shul he davens better in, etc., that's more important than the schar psios. But all things being equal, a person shouldn't say, oh, well, I just go to the closest shul for more convenience, right? This is a terrible thing that has happened because of COVID. The people go to convenience, they go to their next-door neighbor's house, and they daven all mincha together, they daven arav together, rather than going to the shul. So much more important to daven to the shul. I is further away, so you're getting schar b'sios. This is a tremendously important idea. So we see from this woman, this almana, that she understood the concept of schar v'onish and how important it was to get the schar b'sios. So how can you tell me that the besula tzalyonis and the almana shavav is a bad? Here we see examples of great, great women, besula and an almana. So one says, you're 100% right. That brisa that we brought down that said that they were bad is specifically talking about a woman like this. Ki kamar ki gon yochani bas retivi. This particular woman was Mavali Olam. What did she do? So Rashi tells us, Rashi we found on the first of the widest lines, Kigon Yuchani Bas B'Tivi, she was an Almana Mechashva Haisa. She was a witch. She was a sorceress. Umeshavagia Ace Ledas Isha, when she saw that a woman was about to give birth, she did various magical things. Their magic in those days had certain koichas of tumma to them. So Haisa Otseres Rachma B'machashefos. So she was able to stop the woman from going actually into labor. And it was very painful to the woman. She needed to deliver the baby, but the labor process she had somehow was able to stop with her kishuv. After this woman in labor was not able to progress in her labor, was in tremendous pain, so this woman, this Yuchani Bas Retivi, would go over there and make her sound like such a tzedekis. I will go there and daven on your behalf. Maybe my tefila will be answered. So this is what it means. She davened and davened and davened. So she would go there and she would undo her magic, and then and the child would go out, and everybody said, wow, this woman's a real tzedekis. Until now, the labor wasn't progressing, the woman was in a lot of pain. She comes here and davens, and boom, everything gets better. However, Kosh Baruch Hu revealed the truth. So one time, there was a worker in her house, and she did this thing. She was had stopped somebody from going, the labor from progressing. And she went to the house of the woman who was having difficulty with the labor. But the socher, the day worker that she had in her house, heard kol hakishofim miskashishim b'kli. He heard the kishof, that whatever was going on over here was in this kli that she would then open up, and that would allow the labor to progress. And he heard the noises coming from this kli as if somebody was trying to get out. Kemosha Vlad makashkish b'mei ha'em, just like the Vlad is trying to get out from the womb of the mother. So this day worker opened up the kli, vakshofim yatsu v'avlad nolad. And the kishof left the kli, and the woman was able to go and give birth easily. And everybody therefore found out that this woman wasn't, she was such a tzaddikas, that she was able to daven to Hashem to go and have the baby be born. Everybody knew that she was a wicked lady, and she was just trying to look good in the eyes of everybody else, but she was actually the cause of the woman having the problem. So such a woman who, quote, davens in this way, seems to be such a tzaddikas, is really a rishah. And that's what the Braisa tells us, such women are mechbali olam. Why to give the example of a woman? The same reason the Torah says, mechashefah lo sechayeh. The same thing is true for mechashef. However, it was more common in those days that women would be involved in the kishuf than men. We have witches, quote, more in the lore of people than warlocks. So this was common in those days, and therefore that's why I gave the example over here of a mechashefah. But the same exact halach applies to a man as well. A man who makes himself to be a tzaddik, looks like he's davening so well, but really he's not a good person. He's doing all sorts of bad things. So that person is also mevalei ha'olam. Then we have the third thing that we mentioned in the Brisa. My, what is that? Katan shelo kolu lo chadoshav. What does it mean? A child that hasn't completed his years. How's that a terrible thing? Mavali olam. So Chacha Targimu in Babel, they explained as follows. This is the Talmud Chacham that goes and kicks, so to say, against his teachers. Now Rashi tells us, Hamevayit b'rabosa, v'kari le katan, he's called the katan, shelo kalu lo chadasha, because he hasn't matured, he hasn't completed his years, and he will die, in fact, young. Adei sheyomo miskatsun, he will not live out his full life because he's mora halacha lefnei rabo, he's a chutzvedik to his rebbeim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cut his life short. That's the opinion that we give first in Bavel. Hocha, over here. Rabbi Abba Omar, Rabbi Abba gives a different terrace. He says, Zer Talmud, this reference over here to Katan Shalom Kalu Chadashav, Zer Talmud Shalom Gil or Ra Umar. It's somebody who has not yet reached the age where he should be Mora Halacha. He really isn't yet qualified to Paskin, and nevertheless, he does go and Paskin. So such a person is also doing incorrectly. The guy's not competent to Paskin, and nevertheless, he goes and Paskins. As we see, the Omar, Rabbi Avo, Omar Huna, Omar Rab, that's the gear that we have in the Masoros HaShas, actually in the Gilyan HaShas, he brings down that the proper gear over here should be the Rabbi Abba. He was the one that said the statement, so it's not Rabbi Abba. The Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. My Dersiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Ki Rabim Chalolim Hipila, Va'atsumim Kol Harugah? What does this pasuk mean? Another pasuk from Mishlei that we have that says that many people has she killed. This is the talking about a zona, Rashi explains. So this Kirab Mechala Pila, Rashi says, Beisha Zora, Anisha Zona, Mishtoi, that's what the Pasuk is talking about. And then it says that in this end of the Pasuk, Ba'atsumim Kol Harugah, and very strong are those that she has killed. So we dash in the pasuk as follows: Kirabim chalala chalolim hipila. This is a reference to Zetam Lachach Shlo Gil Ara Umare. Rashi says hipila is a lashon nafal shlo kolu lo chadashav. He has fallen. In other words, he hasn't completed his years, and yet he's trying to paskin. So that's what it means: Kirabim chalolim hipila. And the end part of the pasuk: Batsumim kol harugeha. What does that mean? Zetam Lachachem shegil hara ve'ein umare. That's the opposite. Here, the Talmud Chacham is qualified. He's been spending all these years learning, and now a shaila comes up. He says, "No, I don't know the. I'm not qualified to answer this." He really is. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, in the introduction to the Igros Moshe, writes, "I'm not greater than the great Achronim that came before me. I'm not the Chassam Sofer. I'm not all of these other people. But no, I have learned a certain amount that people come to ask me shailas, and it's my obligation to go and answer those shailas. I'm not Chas V'Shalom bragging and saying that I'm qualified. However, I have learned a certain amount, and when people come to ask me shailas, you have to answer it. So this is Talmud Chacham Shegil Hora, who has reached this level of Hora, and yet he's not Mor Halacha. He doesn't tell the answer. So such a person is considered Vatsumim, the strong ones. Kol Horiyah, they are killed. In other words, if they don't Paskin Halacha, so it's, their life isn't worth living. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Abba. Now the Gemara says, we turn to Chavbeis and Mabeis, the At Kama. At what point is a person considered that he's learned enough, as Rashi says, heavy royal or rod, that now he can go and paskin? So the Gemara answers, Ad Abor Mishnin, which Rashi tells us elsewhere, means 40 years from his birth, Mishen Nolad. You can see this in the Likutei Rashi if you have them in your Gemara. So according to Rashi's understanding, it means when a person's 40 years old, so then he can go and paskin alochus, assuming again he's competent to do so. Tosos in the top Tosos has a different understanding. He says, "Pirish mishana shehiskil limod ad arba mishana." So the person started learning when he's 5 years old. So then, when he's 45, that's when he can go and paskin. That's what the adkam means. It doesn't mean 40 years of age. It means 40 years of learning. More questions. Both of these opinions. Ini, is this really so? Well, Rabba Ore, that's the gears that we have. Rabba on the Masoros HaShas says it should be Rabba, but Rashi brings down that Rabba only lived to be 40 years old. Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that the sons of Eli were cursed. They were cut off. And Rabba and Abaye were midabes Eli kaasu. They came from the house of Eli. And the Gemara there tells us that Rabba didn't die at 20 like everybody else in the house of Beis Eli did because of his learning Torah. And that zechus of learning Torah gave him an extra 20 years. And Abaye lived to the age of 60 because he had the zechus of Torah as well as the zechus of Gemilus Chasodim. And that even allowed him to live to the age of 60. In any event, Gemara says, how can you tell me that a person has to wait 40 years to look at Paschal Locha? Rabba only lived to the age of 40. So even if you go like Rashi, that says it's 40 years of age, and you certainly, if you go like Tosfos said, you have to be 40 years from the start of your learning. So how could Rabba go and paskin when he was 40 years old? Rabba paskin well before that. So what's going on over here? Shmuel says, Bishavin. It's different when you are equal. As Rashi says, Im shavah legadol ir b'chochma, mutar laharos. So the first opinion that Rashi gives is when you're so great that you're equal to the gadol of the year. So at that point in time, even if you're before 40 years of age or before 40 years of learning, you're allowed to go and paskin halachos. Alternatively, Rashi says, O shein zok kei mimenu b'ir, there's nobody else as good as you. So yes, ideally, there should be people that should be passing ahead of you. But if you are the top of the class, if you are the best one, so then even before 40 years, you're out to Paskin, and that was the case with Rabba. Then we quote the Mishnah where it said, Umakos Prusha V'chule. So these people are also Mavali Olam, those people that have Makos Prushim. So I have a number of different definitions of what these Makos Prushim are. Tanu Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa. There are seven, Shiva Prushin Haim. We'll see that our Gemara will really say that there's only five, but it will quote all seven, and we'll say the last two aren't necessarily falling into this category. That will be the way, the simple understanding of our Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we learn that there are seven people that are Prushim. They seem to be so great, they seem to set themselves aside. The Prushim were the description that we give to the members of Klai Yisrael that followed the Torah, as opposed to the Tzdukim and the Karoyim and the Baisusim. They're the ones that left the path of the Torah. The Prushim are the ones that are considered the good people. So there are seven Prushim that aren't so good. So we'll first read all of them, and then we'll explain them. Parish Shichmi, Parish Nakofi, Parish Kizoi, Parish Meduchya, Parish Mechovosi Vesena, Parish Me'ava, Parish Me'ira. Now, we'll go and darshan each of them, so I'll explain them as we go through them. The first one is Parish Shichmi, a person who is considered a Parish Shichmi. What is that? Se'a Osa Maisa Shechem. He acts like Shechem acted. What does this mean? So Rashi brings down Shemalu Shalolu Shem Shemayim. They did a bris mila, but they had ulterior motives. They wanted to have the Jewish women. They saw Dina, Shechem took Dina, and they wanted to also have Jewish women. So they did a bris mila for these ulterior motives. So Avze Maisa Lahanoso. So this person who does what we call Maisa Shechem, Parish Shechmi, so he also has ulterior motives. His intentions, his actions, are to fool people, Sheyachabdu Bnei Adam, V'lo L'Shem Shemayim. He wants people to go and say, wow, that guy's a very chosh of a guy, and give him covered, and give him all sorts of things in this world. He's not doing it L'Shem Shemayim. That's a Parish Shechmi. So such a person is Bavali Olam. Next one is Parish Nakofi. What is that? Zamenakev es Raglov. What is this? Rashi tells us, Menakev Raglov, Mahaleg Bishiflus. He walks very, very humbly. Ekev Bitzad Godel. So he takes very little tiny steps. He doesn't lift his foot off the ground. Eino Merim Raglov Bino Oretz, since he doesn't take his foot off the ground, when we told Kach Menakev es Beoso Be'avodim, they would walk barefoot, and he would constantly hit his toes against rocks because he didn't lift his feet up. So it looks like he's walking very humble, but the person is not really a humble person. He's just putting on airs over here, and therefore he's also a Mevali Olam. That was number two. Number three is Parush Kizoi. What is this? So Amar of Yaakov Yitzchak, this is the person that make his dam l'ksolim. What does this mean? So we had this previously in the Gemara, and Rashi explains over here, Osa atzmo ke'otzim eino. He closes his eyes so he doesn't see all the non-sneous women. He doesn't see all the schmutz that's out there on the street. Shlo yistako b'noshim. He shouldn't look at women. When we talk kak, makirosha b'koso. He therefore bangs his head into the walls. Badam yotzi, and he constantly bruises himself. So again, a person shouldn't try to look, but again, don't do this in this outlandish sort of a way. Oh, I'm such a humble person. I close my eyes totally, and I bang myself into the walls. So that's silly. And such a person fools people, and he can be Mavali Olam. Then the fourth one is Parush Meduchya. What is that? Omar Rabba Bar Shila, the Mishapa Ki Meduchya. Rashi explains the Mishapa is Hole Kofuf. He walks bent over like a Meduchya, Ki Meduchya. That's the mortar and pestle. Buchda Asui Kemakeves, the Roshu Kofuf. It has its head that's bent over. So again, this person walks in a bent over way. Again, this is all false modesty. This is all fakery. And therefore, these four people are Mavali Olam. Then we go to the next one, the fifth one, Parush Mechovosi Vesena. The person separates himself and he says, I'm such a tzaddik. What is my obligation? I will do it. So the Gemara says, that's not a bad thing. Why are you telling me that that's a bad thing? The person actually says, Duni is asking, teach me, this sounds like it's the perfect thing. A person goes to the Rav of the Shul, goes to the Rav of the Yeshiva and says, teach me so I'll know what to do. That sounds like a very good thing. Why are you saying it's a bad thing? The one says, you're right. We left out a word. Ella, the Omar, this parish says, Mechovasi Su. What additional obligations do I have? That said, I will do them. The implication over here is that he, in fact, says, I've done everything. If he didn't have the word su further, then like Rashi tells us, so then he's a good person. He wants to learn. However, if he says su, so the next Rashi, malasos od, below Asisi. What is there more for me to do that I haven't already done? He's making himself sound like such a tzaddik. Oh, I finished everything. Is there anything else that I need to do to be a tzaddik? So these first five ones clearly are mevali olam. Then we have the last two, which we'll have a machlokis on. Parish mi'ava, parish mi'ira. A person who separates himself from Klai Yisrael because he loves Hashem, and the person separates himself from Klai Yisrael today because of Yiras Chayit. So these people are doing it not totally l'shem shamayim. They're doing it, Rashi says, parish mi'ava, mi'ava schar ha-mitzos. He loves to get reward. And that's why he does it below la'avas mitzvah saborit. And he's not doing it because that's what Hashem commanded. And likewise, Meira, he's afraid of the sin, shel onshin, of being punished. Ella, ma al ho'odom, lasos mi'avas Hashem yisbarach, hashem sivon Hashem lokeinu, v'sofa schar lovo. Instead, a person should just worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for that's what Hashem wants us to do, rather than for schar v'onish, and because he's going to get schar, or because he's afraid he's going to get onish. Now, this seems to be a bad thing, but Amrulei Abaye v'Rava Latana, Abaye and Rava said to the one who said these seven things in this brisa, they told him to delete the last two. Lo sisne parish mi'aba, parish mi'ira. Those are in fact good things. They're not mevali ha'olam. Those are in fact good things. The Amr of Yudam Arab, we have the famous statement of Yudam Arab, la'olam, forever a person, yasuk odam b'torah v'mitzos, afilu shelo lishma, shemito shelo lishma, balishma. One of the most famous statements of the Lo Shash. Don't not do mitzvahs because you're doing them for the schar, or you're doing them because you don't want to get onish. That's phenomenal. Do a mitzvah even because you're doing it for the wrong reasons, as long as you're not doing it, as the famous Tosfos in Brachos tells us, lekanter. The only time a person shouldn't be doing a mitzvah, he shouldn't be trying to do good things if he's doing it lekanter. A person goes and reads the art scroll footnotes in the Gemara from the Shia the next day, so he could stump the Rebbe and say, oh, the Rashba says this, didn't the Rebbe know this? So the Rebbe didn't read the footnotes in the art scroll, didn't know that there's a Rashba on this subject, he was giving the Shia on something else. And this person is doing it lekanter, he's doing it to cause trouble, he's doing it to make the Rebbe foolish. Such a type of learning, such a type of doing mitzvahs, that is not considered that it's better to do it shelo lishma because it will lead to lishma. But if a person is doing it, so he'll be the guest of honor at the dinner. If a person is doing it, so they'll give him lots of kavod. Everyone will stand up when he comes into the room. He's not doing it because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do. He's doing it because of the benefits that he gets from it. The kavod, the reward, the pleasure that he gets, or that he knows that I'm not getting punished. So then, no, that's a good place to start. Do Torah mitzvos, even if you're not doing them for the perfect motivation. You're doing it for kavod. You're doing it for reward of some sort. You're doing it not to get punished. Because when you start off doing it for the reasons that aren't perfect, eventually, and therefore, Abaye and Rava told this Tana, take away from your brisa that there are seven things, there really only are five things. Take out parish me'ava, Parish Meira. That's a simple way to understand the Gemara. There are other ways to understand it as well, but we'll go weiter. Amr Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he says another statement, the mitmira mitamra, or the megaya megaya. What does this mean? So Rashi tells us, in the Ramasal the mitmira, ha nistaros, nistaros mimnei adam, things that are hidden from human beings, by gluyos, gluyos, and things that are revealed, that are open, are revealed. Nevertheless, mikom makom, lebezin ha-gadol kulam giluyos. A human being can only see what he can see. However, as the Gemara continues, beidino rabba in shamayim, lihispara mehane dechafu gunde. They'll eventually know who is doing things correctly, who's doing things incorrectly. And as Rashi continues, v'hu yipara minamiskasim betalisos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, so to say, pay back those people that cover themselves with the talis and they look like they're such tzaddikim, maranatzimum kiprushin, they ain't a prushin. They act in a very religious looking way. They have the garments and they have the look and the talk and the walk of people that are great tzaddikim, but Hashem knows if they're not. So the person that looks like a very firm Jew and then he cheats at business, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. And the things that human beings may see or not see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. And then the other ads over here, when a person wears a talis over his head, so it gives the false impression that he's a big tzaddik. And he brings down the Yerushalmi, that a man once wore tefillin all day, and another person thought, oh, that guy must be a tzaddik, he's wearing his tefillin all day, and he gave him his money to watch without witnesses. The Gemara tells us the person should always lend money or give somebody money always with witnesses so the person won't have a stumbling block placed in front of him. They will have a great taiva to say and deny that he ever got the money. In any event, the person who deposited the money by the so-called tzaddik who was wearing the tefillin, went to eventually get back the money. And the guy that was wearing the tefillin, this false tzaddik, said, what are you talking about? You never gave me any money. So therefore, people who look like a tzaddik, so Hashem will know whether they really are tzaddikim or not. That's what it means. The talisos, they're wearing the talis, the chafu gunde, that they're covering themselves up with their talis in a false display of being a tzaddik. Mor finalizes and says, Omal Yane Malkal Dvise, when Yane, who was the king, was on his deathbed, he said to his wife, Altis Yori Mina Prushim, don't be afraid of the good guys, of the Jews, of the religious Jews, Mina Prushim. As Rashi says, Sha Prushim Hoyusono so. Even though the Prushim hated Yane because he became a tzuki, Levisho Horak Mina Chachamim Harbe, the Nevach Leo Tzuki, he killed many, many Nebuch of the Tamidi Chachamim, and he became a tzuki later in his life, as Gemara and Kedushin tells us, Ukishimeis Hoyso Ishto Yureya Man. So his wife on his deathbed was very much afraid of the Prushim. So Yane told her, don't worry, the Prushim won't give you a hard time. Shol Yaviru Hamlucha Mibonea, they're not going to take away the kingship from our family. And she said to him, I'm afraid. So Levakish Belefneim Ola. So she told Yanai, go talk to the Prushim and apologize to them and ask them to save us and let us continue with our children being the kings. And he said to her, don't worry about Yari Mina Prushim. Don't be afraid of the Prushim. She said, because they're righteous individuals. And they're not going to do anything bad to you. And not to your children. Because your children didn't do anything to them. Our children didn't do anything to them. And therefore, don't be afraid of the Prushim. Likewise, and don't be afraid of the Tzdukim. I'm one of them. They're not going to give you a hard time also. Who should he be afraid of? Who should he be concerned about? Who should he be watching out for? Elam and Atzvum. The Tzvum actually says, Klomar, She'ein Marisom Kitoldosom. They're fakers, the ones that look different than what they really are. El Atzvum, they're colored, so to say, Mibachotz. On the outside, they Tochem Kibar, and their inside isn't that way. So they look righteous on the outside, but they're not. Those are the people you have to be afraid of. Shedomil Prushim, they look and act like they're righteous Orthodox Jews. Shemaseim Kamasi Zimri. But their actions are, in fact, like Zimri ben Salu, who was, of course, the one who Pinchas killed because he committed an illicit relationship with Cosby Vatsur. And they act like Zimri, however, Vakshim Schachki Pinchas, but they want to be treated like Pinchas. In other words, they're fakers. So as Rashi says, Shein Rishayim, Vakshim Schachki Pinchas. They're, in fact, bad people, but they want the Schach that Pinchas gets. Amr Lebrias, they tell all the people, L'chadun Ki Pinchas, whoa, we're righteous people. Bimachabi, that's like Pinchas. And others say that this deals with tzniyas, that they act in a very tzniyastic fashion, but they're really not tzniyah people, and these are fakers, and stay away from the fakers. That's what Yane told his wife. That's great advice. This is actually a good break point. The next Mishnah goes well into Chaf Gimel of an Aleph, so we'll stop over here, and we'll pick up from the new Mishnah in tomorrow's Shir. With this, we conclude today's Shir.